and we're go. Again, for number four. This is how it starts. We've got Martin with us. This is how it starts, Martin. There's no official, like, you know, cool opening.
Damn it, I'm a fan here.
You know. That was terrible.
That was a fucking game with
anything. It was kind of apt because it was on two DVDs. It was on a DVD cover.
Two DVD covers.
It was rubbish.
Okay.
Well,
yeah. Alright, yeah. On drums. Oh, no, being good. Oh, okay.
Like this.
That was terrible. That was. What was
really?
That? Really? This is the worst fanfare.
That's your fanfare ringtone? iPhone?
Really? That's amazing.
That's a terrible fanfare.
That was such a letdown. Did you do?
That's a fanfare for peasants.
Wow. Now, because we were thinking it was going to be some kind of cool, like, that was pathetic.
I knew a fanfare ringtone existed, didn't know it was.
I am sheerly disappointed. Sheerly, is that right?
Okay,
you're just going to go through.
That's like a porn.
that's called noir.
I was going to say that's quite noir, okay. Noirish. My god.
Noir porn.
Wow. I almost choked my water. So, what's been happening in the world of
nothing whatsoever.
Film, TV? Oh! Anchorman.
Yes.
Fans of Anchorman?
Yes.
Of course.
I'm kind of skeptical about Anchorman too.
Me too.
Because
entirely.
I mean, like, Anchorman is brilliant, but like Will Ferrell's been trying to make Anchorman again since Anchorman, and he's never quite got there. So I feel like it's like down to like all get the same cast back together and it'll be fine. But it'll be fun. I doubt it'll be. Like, it'll ruin Anchorman 1, but I don't think it'll be that great.
Comedy sequels are never as good.
Yeah, I mean...
Like, even the best ones, Airplane
2
is brilliant, but it's not as near as good as the first one.
Yeah.
I mean, it could go either way. It could be really bad, or it could be, like, a good film, but just, you know, not... I think it's going to... I mean, there's so much hype about it already. There's been so much hype about it since there was a discussion.
I think when something's got no hype, and it kind of is much... better than everyone think it is as well. Like Anchorman 2, I think Anchorman was brilliant because it was improvisational, it was experimental, and that's what was good. But like then, if Will Ferrell's been trying to do that again and again, it's like trying to do the same experiment again and again, and it just seems a bit watered down, old.
I suppose.
As I said, like last night, something what I was saying about something without any hype was brilliant. Was 21 Jump Street.
Oh, right.
Like, the trailer looked terrible. It looked absolutely awful. And then, like, as it is, because it's people going, like, oh, it's 21 Jump Street. It's like cash in. And it's the funniest thing I've seen in ages.
Is it? I'm really...
It's absolutely brilliant.
See, I'm like, because I thought the trailer looked really funny. There was a Red Band trailer out, which was different.
It was funny, but it was funny in a... This looks like these are the only funny bits in the film,
right,
and it's
okay.
Going to be terribly awkward. And it's Channing Tatum from The Verb to Chan.
No.
Yeah. And I really didn't like Channing Tatum. I think he's a terrible actor. And the only film I've enjoyed him in was Public Enemies, where he appears for 2 minutes and gets shot by Batman.
Was he in Public Enemies?
Yeah, he was Pretty Boy Floyd at the beginning.
Oh, right.
It's the first time you meet Christian Bale is him, like, him chasing Channing Tatum and getting shot. But I mean, like Channing Tatum, I'm so sorry to say, is absolutely brilliant.
Is it?
He's one of the best things that you. I think there's one review that I kind of like completely agree with, that you do not know joy until you've seen Channing Tatum enthusiastically jumping through a gong.
Wow.
Well, off his tits on crazy drugs.
I'm looking forward to seeing it. I want to see that. I mean, there's a lot of films just now. I'm going to see Muppets on Monday.
Still not seen the Muppets.
I've just every time I say I'm going to go see it, then. I never get around to it, but I'm going to book the tickets. I'm going to book the tickets, so I've got no kind of. I'm really lazy, and I don't like people.
I'm lazy as hell. I've seen the Muppets.
But
come on,
there'll be other people.
That's no excuse.
Oh no! I just realised it's going to be through the Easter break as well, and it'll be like a daytime screening.
Go,
so
go at like 10 in the morning.
I might do that.
Only other weird people.
Yeah, I did go and see Pirates of the Caribbean 4 at 10 in the morning.
First time I've seen that.
I've still only seen Pirates of the Caribbean for not because I've kind of been neglecting my unlimited card, and I really should have seen Pirates 4 because I was probably one of the three people in existence that quite liked the third one.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, like, the second one was shit, but like the third one was
alright, but the fact that I went to see it in the cinema and I had it intermission.
Sorry, what?
God.
Because it's that long that when I see it in the cinema, they put an intermission.
You're kidding on?
What cinema was
The Orient and the Key.
What?
Sorry, there was a break during the film. An advert, was it an advert or just a going to the pee?
I'm pretty sure they were just a nightclub on the screen, just had intermission.
Yeah. You're having a laugh?
I've only been to one film that's had it.
Oh my god!
Fantasia had an intermission.
It's not even a comp, it's Pirates of the Caribbean.
But it's a long film, is the point that they're getting across.
I think
they
did for Lord of the Rings.
No, I went to see Lord of the Rings 3, Return of the King, with all of his many endings, no intermission.
Yeah. Or maybe they just don't like Pirates of the Caribbean.
No,
I mean,
maybe they had Lord of the Rings and then you would come out with that. Anytime you show a film that long, there'd be a fucking intermission, guys.
Yeah, I've only seen one film that's had an intermission, and that was Shrek. But that's because I went to see it in it was a kind of proper kind of old timey cinema in Malta.
So yeah, okay,
it wasn't like a chain one like Cineworld or UGC as it was back then.
Back in my day.
I can't believe there was an intermission in Paris. Like, what one was it?
3.
Oh my god. I mean, it's like I can't even begin to describe how ludicrous that is. It's like I mean, what was the intermission for? Just because it was long, just in case the bums in the seats were getting a little bit sore. Not like there was literally bums in the audience. There might have been.
I was in the movies for this.
I mean,
where's my humble
speech? That's one. That's a slap in the face to. Oh my god! I can't move on. I can't talk about that.
Fantasia.
To be honest, it was only an intermission, wasn't it? Simply Nazi propaganda.
It's not like they said, now for a brief break to indoctrinate you into the Nazi party.
This is
Do you like this movie? You probably won't like the Jews. How about you come join us?
Wow. No, I didn't do that, which is good. I mean, that's...
Although, as we learned from podcast one, Chris does not like...
Nah, that's not true. Because I haven't seen Schindler's List, the full Schindler's List, in David's taking some kind of weird twist.
To be honest, just because you don't like Jews doesn't make you a Nazi. I'm sure there's lots of people who are quite anti-Semitic.
I like all people. Which I did just say I don't like people, that's why I don't go to the cinema.
Yeah, you don't like people, but you actually consider Jews not people.
Come on, guys.
You're the kind of Borat variety of the average kind of magic cockroaches.
Tom Borat, have you seen The Dictator trailer?
I haven't,
no. I didn't
find
Borat that
far. I've not seen Borat.
Borat was hilarious, Bruno was terrible.
Like, I don't know if it was, like, I watched it in my aunt's house at Christmas one time, and about a half an hour walked into the other room.
No, I'm
trying to make it.
I've not seen it. The trailer kind of looks. I mean, it's not the same style.
The problem with Bruno was the funniest thing he did as Bruno was not in the film, which was Land on the Empire.
Yes.
And
the MTV Movie Awards.
Was it the Movie Awards?
Did
you see that?
No.
It was basically Eminem. Eminem was in the audience at the. No, it was. That's basically the punchline, I tell you. But like at the MTV Movie Awards, Bruno appeared kind of floating through the sky, like just on kind of like.
Oh yeah, I did see that.
And he landed kind of butt naked on Eminem. And he kind of Eminem walked out.
Wow.
But like, I mean, it was all an act, but like. That was probably the funniest thing. And then like, I think Bruno's problem was it was kind of. The funniest thing about Borat was like. Everyone interpreted it as he's making fun of Americans. Mm. An American, I know he's making fun of like American, not American perception, but like other perception of kind of like Kazakh lifestyle. Mm. All the Americans, apart from the kind of drunk frat boys, all the Americans in the film are really nice people.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you kind of like. It's quite nice to see how like just how tolerant the people are. It's like I don't know how many people. I don't know if I had a house guest who brought his feces to the table, I would have murdered them. And like these people are really tolerant, and that's quite nice. But whereas like Bruno was under the thing where it's like, oh, look at these all these people, they're so homophobic. But no, it's like you're doing things so utterly disgusting that. Of course, it kind of makes people uncomfortable, but it's not just a homophobia thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, the Dictator looks kind of funny.
It was really misjudged, I thought, and I didn't enjoy it at all.
I mean, I laughed at the trailer of the of his new film. It looked funny.
Well,
I don't think I'll be. I mean, I'm not like a, you know, oh, Sacha Baron Cohen's got a new film coming out kind of guy that I want to go and see it. I mean, I'll maybe. I don't know if I will see it.
All the things I've like seen Sacha Baron Cohen, and I've still not seen Hugo, but like other things I've seen Sacha Baron Cohen in, when he is like playing things that's not just his own creations, he's been really good. Will Ferrell just trying to do all the same comedy characters again and again, whereas the one time he does something that's not just the same thing going again and again, which is Strange from Fiction, he was brilliant.
Oh, that's a brilliant film.
Same with Sacha Baron Cohen, I would love...
Sacha Baron Cohen is really good, isn't it? Hugo, actually.
Yeah, I mean, like, I'm so terrible with films this year. I've seen The Artist and now it's out of cinemas, but like, I really want Sacha Baron Cohen to like do more just general acting stuff because he's a great actor.
Yeah, Hugo is the most I've ever liked Sacha Baron Cohen.
The Artist is out on the 30th of May, DVD, so not long.
Yeah, I want to see it on the big screen though.
So
damn.
I've still only seen one of the Best Picture nominations.
Which was?
So it's Moneyball, which is...
I really want to see that. I love Aaron Sorkin. Anything with Aaron Sorkin's name on it, I'm there.
That's quite funny because, obviously, yeah.
I just waved. I mean, again, the audio medium doesn't work.
Chris is good with audio.
Yeah. Chris is good with audio.
Me and audio are like that.
Yeah. He'll overdub a narration saying, Chris will wave the West Wing.
Yeah, we'll make it a radio play.
Yeah, we could.
Chris plays the West Wing DVD in Mark.
Be one of the worst radio plays ever recorded. I can't remember what I was going to say. Oh, The Descendants was good. That was a good film.
I kept trying to go see that, but every time I went to the cinema, I would always just, like, I'd be there for 2 minutes, and suddenly go, limited, sold out, fuck you.
Oh, can you see the unlimited card? Can you, because I saw the Descendants in maybe the best cinema in the world. Can you guess what that is?
The big tall one?
No. The Governor?
I wasn't gonna guess.
So why? You just sat there, just this is a boring part of.
I knew where you saw it. I actually factually knew.
Oh right, it was really good.
So I'm not gonna guess.
Okay.
Damn it, David, suspend your knowledge.
Yes.
Podcasting.
My God. Can you use an unlimited card there?
No, it's not.
It's just a cinema card. I've not got one. God damn it, I've not. You know.
Cineworld at all, it's like saying,
can I use my McDonald's loyalty card in the bank? Is that possible? Can I not?
That doesn't make sense.
I was trying to use a Burger King voucher in McDonald's.
Did you actually?
And it was one of the things, it wasn't trying to do it and like trying to hope they would notice, I just genuinely hadn't, I can't remember whether I hadn't noticed that. Like it was a Burger King thing, and I was going to McDonald's. I didn't know it was a Burger King voucher, or I just assumed it was McDonald's, and I hadn't looked at it properly. Or yeah, I kind of walked in thinking this is Burger King.
It seemed like M. Is that?
Did they start slow the
test? Damn it! It's Burger King in some language.
did the person just looking at that? Just call for the supervisor.
I think I must have not realized it was one I didn't go into much. I always hadn't realized it was McDonald's because did that thing like this is for Burger King. And I did that thing, I was just standing there going like, wait, is this not Burger King? It's not Burger King. Sorry.
How did we get here?
This is Burger King. I don't understand the question. What's going on? Why are all these M's around? Is this for me? Is this for Martin? Is this my chat?
Oh yeah, Martin. Suppose yeah, Martin. How the hell did we go into Burger King and McDonald's? Oh yeah.
I'm confused.
What I meant was the 2-for-1 Wednesdays, but that's just any cinema.
Yeah, that's just.
I just mixed myself up.
Yeah, that's all. I mean, the Cineworld cards are shockingly enough just for Cineworld. I obviously get Cineworld. And on Wednesdays, so I can get the same
thing. Oh, screw you, Martin. Screw you.
The only problem is if you ever go on Wednesdays, it's always bloody
stout. Can you use an unlimited card on a Wednesday?
Yeah.
So why are you using 2-for-1? That makes no sense.
Get someone else in.
But then it'd be just one.
What?
What I'm saying is, do you use the, or if you're going, see...
I go on a Wednesday, and I get the 2-for-1 entrees. I go on, pay mine with the limited card, right, which then is free, and then code for 2-for-1, then get someone else in free as well.
But you're not paying for the second...
I'm surprised they let you do that.
But you're not paying for the other thing. You don't...
He's getting around the system,
yeah,
Chris.
I don't have to pay for it. It works with unlimited cards.
Yeah.
So the one
that you're paying for, he pays for with his unlimited card.
Right, okay, I don't think
I thought it was like on trenches 2-for-1, but not with unlimited cards because you would be getting like 2 people in free, but no, you can, like, your own game can be a, it's from 2-for-1 type rather than 2-for-1 for paying, so okay. You can, like, get in with your unlimited card and then still use the 2-for-1.
Well, that's interesting.
Yeah.
So,
but I've only ever seen one film with the Grosvenor, and it wasn't because yeah, let's go to the Grosvenor rather than Cinemark, because I had a Cineworld card since I was 12.
Oh, okay.
But it was because it was the Bob Dylan film I'm Not There.
Ah, yes.
Yeah, I saw that because it wasn't playing in Cineworld.
Cool.
Did you just go like, what's that?
No, I just like, I've not seen it.
Have you not seen it?
No, I've not seen it.
Are you not in that? They did it for American.
I wasn't in that day. The one day that you were a good film.
The one day, because I was quite looking forward to Eternal Sunshine, and then
I know, what was that about?
And then, I mean, like, fair enough, it was quite nice going to the public art route, but
that was, yeah, no, but still, Eternal Sunshine, Jim Carrey, Michelle Gondry.
Yeah.
I'm
actually doing my essay on Charlie Kaufman, so
cool.
Yeah, that should be quite good.
That's cool. I'm doing Martin Scorsese, because he's a man.
Yeah.
Because he's the man.
What's your question?
I can't remember. Really? Good podcast skills, guys. Good podcast skills.
I'm pretty sure you've not, Chris, but have you seen The Hunger Games yet?
I've not, no.
Sorry! I'm pretty sure you've not, Chris. Is that just going to be the... I've not seen it.
Chris,
it is a rather presumptuous assumption, but it's more than often true.
Also, the fact that I'd have gathered you'd have mentioned it at some point between then and now.
I've seen a movie!
I finally saw a movie! There are other people like.
Have you seen Hunger Games, David?
That's what I was asking. Okay. I was asking for opinions for people who have seen it.
Right,
people
who
have seen it, so this is a dead end conversation.
What else was out this week? Or last week?
21 Jump Street.
What,
the Devil Inside, apparently.
You're not going to get me in that cinema to watch that.
According to IMDb, the best exotic marigold hotel.
I actually want to see that because it looks quite fun.
Wrath of the Titans. Titans have wrath.
I was surprised, but I mean, like, the tagline for it is Fuel the Wrath. I mean, fair enough.
What?
Yes, Fuel the Wrath. I mean, like, at least for Clash of the Titans, well done.
Clash of the Titans are just kind of
And at least for Wrath of the Titans, it wasn't Titans Will Wrath. Yeah. But I mean, unless they are deliberately parodying the kind of complete stupidness. Yeah, that's a word.
Is it?
Stupidity. Yeah.
Go for it. That's
right. Yeah. Fine. I'm a wordsmith. I'm a word wizard.
A word creator.
Yeah. Unless they are deliberately parodying the stupid... the stupidity of the first film's tagline, then really you're going to put a really, really short tagline with wrath in it.
Joe's right. After a while, they stopped adding Titans Will Clash tagline to the trailers. It was put out, and then someone in the marketing thing saw it and decided, like, hang on a minute. How the fuck did this get past everyone?
You mean there's someone in the industry that's not a complete idiot?
There's gonna be someone that just kind of saw that and just thought, how the fuck did that go on TV?
Wow.
Jesus.
Yeah.
But
the pilots.
You won't look because you're not on Tumblr, so this is
okay.
Different. You won't. Did you see the thing on Tumblr about the Titans trilogy?
What?
But it was, I don't understand this trilogy, and it had Clash of Titans.
Remember,
that was pretty funny. Although that would be a break. Trilogy. If you took them all together and just thought, what the
It was remembering the time it was Denzel, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I'd love to see all of Sam Worthington's film roles just change to being Denzel.
Yeah.
Black Avatar.
Denzel Washington?
Yeah.
I like Denzel Washington. Yeah, great. Deja Vu, have you seen that film?
Oh, I love Deja Vu.
I really like Deja Vu. Have you seen it?
I think so.
I mean, I'm not asking to play. Have you seen that? Oh, I've seen that before. That's, you know, that's.
I've seen it. It's good.
I think I've seen it, but I didn't make much of an impression on it.
It's a good film. I'm watching it again.
Tony Scott. It does get really kind of like mixed up, and it does. It does the thing that most kind of vaguely sci-fi.
Oh my god, sci-fi. It was me last week, man.
Are you taking on the American sci-fi journalist thing then?
Yeah. It's a habit of kind of most kind of vaguely sci-fi films that like they kind of go with the established rules, and like with Deja Vu, it was like, oh, we're only looking into the past. There's no real communication. And then like at the midway point of the film, it's obviously a writing process. So it's a writing process of, like, okay, I don't know how to end this. Okay, fuck it, it's a time travel machine.
Oh, it was a great film. I actually really enjoyed it. I mean, that
great use of the Beach Boys.
That, which brings us on to the point I wanted to bring up.
Oh, sorry, yeah.
I'm looking forward to this if it leads to the Beach Boys.
Yes. To cleanse the palate of Chris mentioning Band Must Not Be Named on last week's podcast.
Oh, Jesus.
And weirdly coinciding with Olga's suggestion, although I'd decided this beforehand, movie soundtracks is what I want to mention. The best of them, because
Martin, not Chris.
Yep. Martin.
do we movie soundtracks as in scores or just general soundtracks?
Both. Because the best examples of both.
As if you're talking about like kind of pop song soundtracks, I've just watched the one with the best pop song soundtrack, which is Gross Point Blank.
Oh, great film!
Yeah.
Seen it?
Yeah.
Well done, Chris.
We should have like a button.
Congratulations!
You're normal.
I want an applause every time I've seen a film. Can we have that really bad fanfare?
No.
Get the fanfare.
You don't deserve the bad fanfare.
Good film. Shut up.
No, I mean, like,
that's a great soundtrack.
Yeah, I mean, I just can. Never mind the whole soundtrack. Just I can see clearly now in the intro when he's like taking down the cyclist. It's like. I already love this film. I mean, I just love John Cusack. I mean, like, even then you have John Cusack in High Fidelity as well.
And then I love the Grease soundtrack.
Yeah, it's about me.
Yes, it's all about a better Grease soundtrack. It's all about music.
I mean, I don't like making talk about movie soundtracks.
Have you seen High Fidelity?
I think Jack Black's in it, isn't he?
Yeah.
I've got a rough recollection, I think I've seen it, but I just can't remember it. No, genuinely, I think I've seen it somewhere.
To be honest, Chris, most of the times when we'll ask you, have you seen a film, just take it as a rhetorical
question. Yeah, okay then, fine then. I don't think you can
Scott
really...
Scott Pilgrim is another one, which I rewatched recently.
Yeah, I mean, like, most Edgar Wright films are. I remember like the one. I almost got a reply from Edgar Wright on Twitter.
Oh, really?
Because like he had posted something about the Hot Foot. No, it was actually Scott Pilgrim. No, was it Scott Pilgrim? I can't remember if it was Scott Pilgrim or Hot Fuzz. It must have been Scott Pilgrim because I wasn't fucking on Twitter when Hot Fuzz came out. Did Twitter exist in Hot Fuzz?
I don't think
you know the term.
Stephen Fry was from Hot Fuzz Community,
is it? He tweeted something about the Scott Pilgrim soundtrack, and I knew that like he was a big Supergrass fan, so he said nothing about Supergrass on there, and he tweeted back saying that there was a couple of songs that Gaz and Danny from Supergrass had actually done specifically, but like don't think they were in the film, which is a shame. Supergrass should be in everything.
The Reservoir Dogs, that just, just that scene, starting well with you. Every time I listen to that now, that steals me. I just think, somebody give me the beer. No, I don't think that. I just think it's such a great scene.
Has anyone from Greenock had a song in a Quentin Tarantino film?
No. What? That makes no sense. What?
Stuck in the Middle with You. Jerry Rafferty song.
Oh yeah, 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 yeah. Sorry,
Jerry Rafferty. Basically, Jerry
it was the giving me the finger afterwards. This thing that I thought. Sorry, what happened there?
It's a podcast. I can give you the finger, and no one knows.
Yeah, yeah.
Now they know.
We've been doing it constantly, guys. Just constantly, just.
We're all.
That's not true.
Because I knew that would be the reaction.
Only I'm naked.
Oh, okay.
With Aspen's been closed.
We're in separate rooms. I don't really think you can bring up movie soundtracks without discussing who I reckon might be the master of.
You're either going to be
John Williams. John Williams.
I mentioned that the other day, did you guys watch the Oscars this year?
I couldn't watch it.
I like it because Claudia Winkleman isn't doing it anymore. Alec Zane isn't much better. I mean, for the most part, it was more consistently less brain-achingly dull. But at the same time, there was a couple of things that I can't remember what Alec Zane said, but Mick Moran was on. And he was talking about, and the one thing he says that I just kind of went, I quite liked everything he said up to then, but he said that John Williams is a bad composer.
Who said that, sorry?
Mick Moran, who's an actor director, he's the lead actor in Lock, Stock and Two Smoking Barrels.
Really, the lead actor in Lock, Stock and Two Smoking Barrels criticised Williams.
The film he directed was called Telstar, which is the one about Joe Meek and tornadoes and stuff, so he probably knows a tiny bit about music, but no, I don't respect him at all.
Nah.
Yeah, I know. Chris was making
a what the fuck. John Williams basically scored
everybody's
childhood,
Even Chris, he had to watch films.
Two fucking generations of childhood, because you've got Star Wars, Indiana Jones, and then you get Harry Potter and all that.
And you've got Trust.
Basically everything. I'm pretty sure now the mantle is being taken up by Jay Kino.
Jurassic Park.
You are kidding me on. You've not seen Jurassic Park? Please tell me you're winding me up. Please tell me you're winding me up. Have you seen it?
I've not seen it.
Oh my god. I don't know whether to hate you or be so envious that you're going to watch that for the first time.
Probably not.
You're not going to watch it.
I've dedicated my life not to watch Jurassic Park. I'll see it at some point, and it won't be about.
And you guys criticise me.
Yes.
Oh my god.
Yes, we do.
Right. Okay. Okay. I've not seen some great
films.
This
is one film.
Okay.
You can name it all other films as well.
This is going to get boring each week. You've got some films. Yes. Okay. Yes, we know this. We've established this in the first three podcasts.
We're renaming this podcast the Chris What Have You Not Seen podcast.
But we have that section of the podcast which is coming.
That was the original intention you had with the podcast, because I gave him a list of 260 plus films.
Did you got it on
that he needs to watch?
iPads?
No, I don't know. But I gave him this huge list of films that he needs to watch.
I've started.
And then decided, let's do a podcast where we talk about them after I watch them.
Give him my due. I have started. Come on. But no,
give you a Jew?
Give me my Jew.
Jesus Christ.
See, you and anti-Semitism.
That's the same.
Give me my Jew for doing that's
the same. No, that's the same. That's the same. That's the same, though. It's, mate, forget it. B-U-E.
It's a saying, but it also sounds... The word saying
Yeah, because
Jew,
the way I say
it. And thus we make fun of it.
Jurassic Park is just... I can't get... I mean, that is... It's my favourite film.
I will get around to watching because
I love it to watch.
As redundant as statement is, because everybody is, I'm a big Spielberg fan, including all the stuff. You can look at all the stuff, not just the stuff he's directed, but all the stuff he's produced, and you go, he has basically done everything brilliant. But obviously, there's the obvious one, Back to the Future and stuff.
Oh.
And then, even some stuff Freakazoid.
Yes.
Pinky in the Brain. And you kind of get.
Yeah,
it's
like the
Animaniacs. Yeah, Steven Spielberg, Steven Spielberg
is everything. Yeah, we're back there. So
you don't like Steven Spielberg being a Jew?
Steven Spielberg is maybe my favourite person in the world. So get that.
Well, that doesn't
round
make
you.
Sense.
How does that make sense?
Because
you're Andrew. Would you guys just shut up? There's nothing better than that moment in Jurassic Park when John Williams' score just swells, and you see the lion for the first time. It makes me.
Stop moving the table to the tripod as well.
Stop leaning. Stop doing anything. Just lie on the floor.
I love it so much. It's
My favourite John Williams piece, probably one of my favourite pieces of music ever, is Binary Sunset from Star Wars. Which is one, but it's like I was listening to it. It's the one at where like the start of A New Hope, when like Luke's kind of very conflicted about what he wants to do, and he like looks out to the sunset and you get a big swell. And I was had it on Spotify, I had it on kind of like random, mm-hmm. and that came up, and like I kind of something about made a note of Binary Sunset, and then it gets really mellow for about 2 or 3 minutes, and then it kind of comes in very quietly, and for some reason I didn't expect it, and you got the big swell of music, and it's like going whoa, and then realised, oh god, it's so beautiful. it's one of these things. It is like a really overwhelming kind of like.
John Williams' music, I think.
He just wants to go explore the universe.
His
let him go.
His films, I think, you have to really experience them in the cinema.
His name is Skywalker, for God's sake.
Let him walk the sky.
I mean, what? Wow.
That went off a really weird tangent.
Yeah, it did go off a really weird tangent.
Yeah, I get the feeling. These days, I think probably some of the best scores are coming from Michael Giacchino.
I was about to say, yeah, if anything, he's like
Michael Giacchino.
He's like the John Williams of our generation.
He did the score for Lost. He did the score.
Oh, fuck,
he did for Up.
Fuck,
as well.
Yeah. I thought you said Michael J. Acuno or something. I've Michael J. Fox and Acuno was his last name. Oh, what?
Super 8. I love this.
Yeah. I love his incredible soundtrack.
Yes.
It's all kind of big band swinging jazz and stuff like that, and it's kind of incredible.
I remember literally I was in cinema seeing Up. Didn't know he did the music for it. Thought. And just like as it was ending, just kind of thought to myself, the music was pretty good. And then just said, just like music by Michael Giacchino. Oh, well, that makes sense.
Yeah.
That'll be why.
So, did you say you didn't like Up?
No, I did.
Oh, so,
I didn't know he was doing the music for it.
I thought you said you didn't like Up, but you still like it.
No,
it was good.
Up may have been the most upsetting first 10 minutes of an animation I've ever seen. Who scored Toy Story? I almost.
To IMDb!
It wasn't John Williams, obviously. It wasn't J.H.
The only thing I was going to say, the only thing I like about Toy Story, no, I just like the fact that Joss Whedon wrote it.
The first one, yeah.
Yeah.
He was one of six something writers.
Oh, yeah, well, I know, but like.
Toy Story, yeah.
Well,
I think we can all stop.
Yeah, Toy Story was amazing. But yeah, no.
Keep doing that.
I mean, yeah. Michael Giacchino is genuinely just one of the. Nowadays, he's just one of the best.
Yeah, it's quite nice.
Yeah,
like Wikipedia.
Musical.
There should be a crew bit. There we go.
Really, guys, we're just going to do this.
Yeah.
Doing the animation, the IMDb commentary. Randy Newman, of course.
Of course.
No.
That's original music.
The score.
Score
for it.
No, he did the score as well.
Did he?
Yeah.
Okay, nice one.
How did we forget Randy Newman?
See, I was going to say Randy Newman, but then I thought, no, he just did songs, but he had done the score? I don't know.
No, yeah, he did the score. I mean, he did the score for Monsters, Inc. I mean, like, how many Oscars has Randy Newman been nominated for? It's like 25 or something.
Basically every film he's done, probably.
Yeah.
We should do a week on Disney.
Definitely.
That'd be awesome.
Anyway, yeah, let's get back to talking, because, like...
Yeah, because that was a boring bit.
Yes, Chris... You've finally seen Psycho.
I was about to say we should move on to Psycho as I hold the DVD in my hands.
I was trying to make it a bit more natural rather than just say let's move on to Psycho, but okay, let's move on to Psycho.
And now we talk about Psycho.
Lots of Psycho.
Now it's been bought, but you've said the word Psycho too much. Okay, yeah, so I watched it last night for the first time. Now, going into the film, first I had a couple of... One, I thought I was going to be bored. Two, I thought, I'm not going to enjoy it because people say, oh, it's the one of the best films I've ever made, blah, 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 blah. I'm thinking, yeah, right, okay, hype. You know, I was worried that, you know, I just wasn't going to feel any kind of, you know, tension or emotion or whatever to the film because people have said so much of this. And I also was worried that it wasn't going to get past it. Like, because the shower scene, you know, everybody knows the shower scene. I know the shower scene, I'm not seeing the film.
It's a bit like Full Metal Jacket. Everyone gets to the end of the kind of boot camp thing and then they go, oh, right, there's another bit to this movie.
Yeah, I was more excited to see what happened past the shower scene. But so I sort of sat there thinking, how can I try and, you know, stop... get rid of the whole my whole preconception of the film, which I mean it was I struggled to kind of do, but I sort of sat down and thought, right, I'm just going to watch the film, pay attention, turn my phone off, put my, you know, close my laptop off, shut the lights off.
I thought I got distracted easily.
Shut the door and thought, right, this is it, I'm going to watch it. And I absolutely loved it. It was just, it's dated really well.
It's
fantastic.
It is a classic film. It's not as if it's what. It's not as if it's one of these kind of controversial films that really kind of dividing. Mm. And people say, oh, it's brilliant. No, it's terrible. Like, most people love it. And like, I loved it. And I've got this weird thing with Hitchcock, where like the first two Hitchcock films I saw were The Birds and Shadow of a Doubt, and I fucking hated both of them. And
Shadow of a Doubt wasn't crazy about it.
Oh, Shadow of a Doubt. Like, it was just really, I don't know, but I mean, the Birds was probably worse because like it had the kind of good moments of tension, the kind of classic moments, blah blah blah. And then like it was, I mean, it wasn't great, and I thought it was quite dull. I didn't really care about anyone. And then they're stuck in the house at the end, and it's like, oh my god, what are we gonna do?
Spoiler.
Oh no, we're gonna die. No, do you know what? Let's leave and drive off. And they left and drive off. And I drove off, and that's it. And sorry, did I spoil The Birds for you?
Fuck, was that The Birds?
Yeah.
Yeah, you kind of did.
Yeah, well, okay. Sorry. But yeah, they get in the car and drive off.
Throw
well, I just saved you a bad film. But,
it's not a bad film.
It's a terrible film. It's a terrible film. But then, like, after that, I saw Rear Window, which was awesome, mainly yeah, because I love Jimmy Stewart. I can't remember what the Psycho's movie. Second one I saw, or there's something else. Psycho either took it to like two good ones, two bad ones for Hitchcock, or put it into three good ones. Oh no, that was that put it into three good ones because I saw Strangers in the Train,
yes.
And Strangers in the Train was awesome. So yeah, I've now seen just as Hitchcock is 3-2 in the positive for me.
Yeah. I mean, it is a classic. It is a masterpiece. I try not to describe it in that because that's what everybody says is a classic. It's just a fantastic film.
And
I mean, a film is a fantastic film, whatever, it's a classic, and you know,
someone should make a kind of DNA thing to make sure Anthony Perkins is not Andrew Garfield's dad.
I swear, like, that was the thing.
Yeah.
Like, I thought I. Because.
You thought it was Andrew Garfield?
No, I thought I.
Imagine that!
No, I thought I knew, you know, you think, oh, Norman Bates, he's such. The name is such integrated into pop culture and everything. And I'm like, oh, so he's the guy that does it.
Yeah.
But then, even by seeing that, I'm thinking, well, that looks like, in the shadow, in the shower scene, I'm thinking, well, that doesn't look like Norman Bates. And so I was like, oh,
yeah.
Whoa. And then I'm thinking, and the actor, Anthony Perkins, wow. Like, he comes in and you meet him at first, like, oh, he's a nice guy, he's not a psycho. He's like, you're like, no, it can't be him. I'm thinking, no, it's not him.
He's a nice guy, he's not a psycho. Somebody's mislabeled this film.
I'm thinking,
he's not a psycho, famous last words.
And I'm thinking, oh no, it can't be him. Let's make it not him. Okay, I'm thinking, he's a nice guy, he's a nice guy, nice and friendly. And then I was sitting through the film, like, no, oh my, don't go in the house. I mean, like, I think.
Were you somehow fooled by a film you knew the outcome of?
I didn't know the outcome. I didn't know the outcome.
You just said everyone knows Norman Bates, everyone knows what happens, everyone knows who's in.
Yeah, I mean, that's the same. Like,
I think that was me trying to.
It's so ingrained.
Forget all of that and thinking, okay, he's it. And then the way.
So you're trying to psychologize your brain?
Yeah.
New word. no, I mean, like, yeah, it's funny since it's pop culture. The only thing I would say is, like, as scary as it is, funny to see Norman Bates dressed as his mother.
It's creepy. I mean, it's
really
creepy.
Like, that is how you got it from, basically.
Yeah. But
I mean, I was sitting open mouth, which I didn't think I was going to be, because I'm thinking, well, it's a 1960s film. It's stated.
Hitchcock knows how to build tension, how to do horror, which intention is the main aspect of horror films. Anyone who shows you what's happening in a horror film, doing it wrong.
Yeah.
That's when the Saw films shit.
Why I don't like many horror films, because like all these modern horror films, mm-hmm. because it's all about it's like they're gone rather than horror.
The 70s, 80s horror films, the classic ones anyway, like Halloween and
Elm Street Halloween.
No.
Like
I've never seen Nightmare on Elm Street.
No.
I've never seen Friday the 13th. I've seen good films, I've just not seen a lot of horror films.
They had the sort of the balance between sort of Hitchcock and these days. Well, like, it's all about tension, and they don't show you stuff until you need to see it, basically. Like, they show you sort of gore and stuff, but they never show you, like, Saw level of gore. The best thing about Hitchcock is it's exemplified in Rear Window, actually. It's the bit where he's in.
Have you seen Rear Window?
I'm going to try and be as spoiler free as possible, but like, he's in the window, and then like the person's coming up to the room, and we stay with Jimmy Stewart.
Yeah,
that's how you build tension. Less of the directors would have had cutting between the guy going to the room and Jimmy Stewart in the room preparing for it. Stay with Jimmy Stewart, so we have no idea when he's coming.
It's down to like Hitchcock deciding that he's going to build tension by being able to rely on Jimmy Stewart as an actor who can carry that tension. Because if it was Channing Tatum just saying like.
If it was Seth Rogen in that chair, it wouldn't be quite as tense.
More kind of like specifically, I've not seen it, but Shia LaBeouf in Disturbia, I wonder how they did that. He wasn't in a wheelchair, he was just a wee wanker.
He was just
I mean, if it was Shia LaBeouf and he just sitting there going, oh my god, what are these things?
Why are the robots hitting each other?
They're not CGI! I'm being killed! I'm being physically killed! I was not expecting this!
Are you spoiling, like... Well, Disturbia spoiled yourself, in a way.
No, I mean, I didn't see Disturbia, I don't actually know what happened to that. I assumed it was similar to...
Fuck!
What?
I thought you may have just inadvertently spoiled Rear Window. No?
No.
Okay, that's okay then.
No, that's what I was saying. Like, I was just saying, the
general idea is similar, and that someone in a room spying on neighbours.
It makes me want to watch more Hitchcock without being that like, oh, I need to see Hitchcock because he's a master of cinema, because he makes a good film. That's...
There's kind of mixed voices, like David is talking over you, but all I hear is that I want more cock.
I want to see more Hitchcock.
Yeah, that's probably what Chris said.
I want to see more Hitchcock because, I mean, without that, just not because, it's like I need to see more Hitchcock because it's Hitchcock.
Yeah, but
I need to see more Hitchcock because he makes a good film.
Yeah, the reason
he is Hitchcock. The reason people say you need to see more Hitchcock is because makes good films. That's the reason he became.
Yeah, but what I mean is
that's the reason he became the thing. So like, the either way, it's
yeah. What I mean is, I don't want to watch Hitchcock so I can say, oh, it's Hitchcock, and just because it's Hitchcock, you know what I mean.
To be honest, the reason
I don't want to watch it and say, oh, I've seen Hitchcock and it's amazing just because it's Hitchcock. I want to watch the films on their own merit as films, if that makes sense.
To be honest, the reason Hitchcock is Hitchcock is because his dad was called Hitchcock.
We should just call this episode Hitchcock, because it's been said so many times.
Beetlejuice.
That
is one of my favourite jokes in Community.
Yeah.
Because it's just... It took some dedication. For you, who's not seen Community yet.
I've seen season one, I've not seen season two, because I'm watching it on UK.
Watch it online. Join us in the future.
I see the past is so nice. And
wasn't a big fan of The Shining either.
I've not seen The Shining.
My main problem was the first time I saw the extended version, which is like 40 minutes on the beginning, so it was really slow getting into all the kind of creepy shit. But even watching the kind of proper version, it was still really slow. And I'm not going to spoil... If you didn't know... I'm not spoiling The Shining by saying creepy shit. If you didn't know...
I didn't know you were going, it's just in case you kept going.
I didn't know... If you don't know The Shining's about creepy shit, then you should not exist as a person.
Jack Nicholson's in it, his face is creepy shit.
Yeah.
When it wants to
be... Here's Johnny, come on. I think the thing with The Shining was, it kind of went along and you had all the creepy shit, and then, in the last half hour, you get all the stuff that it's kind of, famous for, but it was just a bit slow for what it was, and I didn't really like it though. I've got a weird thing with most Kubrick, because, I can respect Kubrick for like all the stuff, but like I've not lasted more than like 45 minutes of 2001. Doctor Strangelove is amazing. I can't say anything wrong about that. But I am getting like Full Metal Jacket. The first half is brilliant, and then they go to Vietnam, and it's suddenly a bit crap. I've not seen like any of like Zeus. I've not seen like Path of Glory. I've not seen like Barry Lyndon or anything like that. But
yeah, I've not seen a lot of Kubrick. I've not seen any Kubrick. I don't think I have.
You should at least see Doctor Strange stuff.
Yeah.
It's quite.
But that's the thing. That's
quite weird because like I just kind of like marvel at thinking how like what that film shoot was like, because like you had Kubrick, who just seems like the kind of guy who would like is very exact in what he wants, up against like Peter Sellers, like
Pink Panther.
Yes.
Great, yeah. Films. But the one thing I heard the other day was Mind Fewer I Can Walk was completely improvised out of the blue. No one was expecting it. And like it was just left in. Which it seems mad. It's one of these things of like films you can't believe. Like sometimes the best bits are completely out of the blue. You know the Indiana Jones one, don't you?
What? What's that again?
But it's like when Indiana Jones in Raiders of the Lost Ark was running about Cairo. And like the for looking for Marion, and the crowd clears, and there's
that was meant
to be a big
sword fight scene,
but like
hasn't followed like his or something on his back.
No, I think he had the shits, and was basically
saying that. I had the story that he'd done something on his back the day before.
I'm pretty sure
he couldn't do it because if you watch it, he sort of hunched.
I'd heard it was just
the shits.
No, I've heard that it was just the climate was giving him the shits. He's not a fucking technical
player,
but
I'm not going to Google Harrison Ford shits.
No,
he had that, and he basically said, "I can't deal with this. Can't I just shoot the fucker?"
Well, that's a good scene.
Yeah,
and it's so much more in Indiana Jones, bro.
Yeah,
it's so much more what he would do.
I mean, that to be honest, that's the kind of. I mean, I can't say for Spielberg, he'd be anything different, but I think that's the story of George Lucas's career. He has a couple good ideas, and then he has to be completely reined in. And then when he's not reined in, and he's allowed free, like go at whatever he wants. That's when you get the Phantom Menace. That's when you get Attack of the Clones.
That's another thing. What do you call it? The I Love You, I Know.
Yeah.
Wasn't in script.
Yeah.
That was Harrison Ford.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, George Lucas didn't like it.
Yeah, George Lucas didn't like it, and he was wrong.
Yeah.
That's unsurprisingly.
Oh, well, I mean, like I saw something else that was like, it was like, I love you, I know. Oh great, thanks. You don't love me. You just know I love you. Fuck you.
But like, what is the thing? Like, it's great that Harrison Ford read that and saw I love you too. I'm sure of that. No. Come here. Not a surprise that the best Star Wars film, George Lucas, had the least to do with.
And then, like, what he had more control with Return of the Jedi, didn't he? Because like,
and then I think he may have actually written Return of the Jedi.
New Hope, fair enough, it's really good. Empire, brilliant. And like, as my kind of Ali's childhood memory was Airport, obviously like I quite enjoyed Return of the Jedi. I was going to say Return of the King, no, that's clerks too. I really enjoyed Return of the Jedi. I remember watching it like 5 years ago and thinking, everyone seems to hate Return of the Jedi, watch it, this isn't bad. Watched it again like a couple of months ago and going, this is bad. This is really bad. It was just really muddled in what it was doing. Like the storytelling was really muddled. It was going to jump here, 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 and couldn't quite get a focus on what was actually happening. And just the shifts in tone, because you jumped between like the good storyline of like Luke and like Darth Vader and the Emperor, and then you go to like. And motherfucking Ewoks, and it seems too easy to slag the Ewoks, but no, fuck those guys, seriously. Like, it was just really just...
So you what, for Ewoks? Have you said that?
No.
Coming from you who constantly says the phrase, fuck a duck.
Yeah, whatever. You just broke me there. You've just broke
yes.
me.
Anyway,
I was crushed, you're already broken. But yeah, I mean, like, it was just really weird tonal shifts. And like, I really wish they had just decided to focus on the... I mean, even if they'd done something like that, because, like, it just... It renders the... I mean, for a subplot to... Because, like, all you want to do is, like, no, go back to Luke, go back to Darth Vader, that's what you want to see. And then, fair enough, it's like... Which is, like, no one's ever before wanted more of Luke over, like, Han Solo. But, like, Han Solo and Leia and that, they're stuck in this subplot with the most annoying things ever, and it just kind of... It plods along, like...
They're not the most
yeah,
annoying things ever.
Sorry?
They're not the most annoying things in the Star Wars universe.
That's fair enough, yeah. I mean, not even Jar Jar Binks. I've seen some of the Clone Wars, and Jesus Christ. But,
Yes.
Thingy.
You know what, I was told recently? Muppets Take Manhattan, I think it was largely improvised.
Mm-hmm.
Which is fantastic, because Muppets Take Manhattan is fucking incredible.
Well, I mean, Anchorman was pretty much all improvised.
Yeah.
Anchorman.
And that's kind of come full circle.
Yeah. Almost.
I love the sort of, the weird sort of thing people say, you know, if something's improvised, you know, that really? And it's still funny.
I don't like the fact itself, I think it's because it's like,
people,
it becomes so kind of...
No, but it's just a sort of thing, like, people, you know, realise the same funny stuff happens, and the more funny stuff happens in the moment than one person in a room with a
computer.
It's called that too good to believe, that just came off.
But, like, it's just a sort of thing where, like, hang on, this is, they were just saying this, and it's funny. How is this happening?
People suddenly forget the notion that things are created.
Yeah, it's like, people have no problem with written by one single person, and it being hilarious. But a group of people get together and improvise something hilarious. Hang on, whoa! This is incredible.
I love
yeah.
improvisation. Like it. Like mine's broken.
And
for that.
I like
it. You say like improvisation.
I like it. Different.
I like it.
What?
Very much.
What'd you say?
I like it. The friend. This is for Chris, who's clearly not getting this. This is Martin making a joke about improvising.
Yes.
By saying the sentence you're saying badly?
Yes, it is.
I know. I'm laughing inside. I'm an inside laugher.
Is that why you had the blank look in your face when you first started it? Oh, but I don't understand what's going on here. Why are you fucking slowly?
That is a funny observation.
Wow. How did we get here? How did we get here?
Do you know what?
I was
saying. So
that's it. Do you know
what
I watched last night? I watched last night.
What?
As well as the new Community. Which have you seen it yet?
Oh, I've not. Shit.
Oh.
Don't tell me.
I was going to discuss it if you'd seen it. Oh, vaguely, without spoilers. If you'd seen it. But I watched a Goofy movie last night. Which I've not seen in years.
Goofy as in Disney Goofy?
Yes.
Oh, right. No,
then,
like
a Goofy movie.
I didn't even know a Goofy movie existed.
Oh,
that.
I thought Goofy was just like a kind of side. I mean, I've completely eradicated all my knowledge of Disney. Like, early Disney stuff. Like, my Disney, like, knowledge these days is pretty much Pixar, which I feel really bad about.
Why would you eradicate early Disney? Early Disney?
I don't know!
All Disney's awesome. I love Pluto. Pluto's my favourite.
My Goofy movie. It's brilliant.
Oh, it's only 1995.
Yeah.
I thought it meant it was a bit older one.
No.
It's
my childhood.
I've
not seen it in years, and it's still brilliant.
I mean, like, I think obviously I had all the Disney stuff, but I think most of the stuff that's kind of stuck is mostly Looney Tunes. But, and Tom and Jerry. Wait. Tom and Jerry.
That was,
Or is it something else completely?
No, I think that was. I mean, the Looney Tunes sort of area.
Yeah. I remember having the video that had, like, Tom and Jerry in the same sort of kind of, like, you kind of circle.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was. I love Tom and Jerry.
A good movie, also a great film with a great soundtrack.
I still love Goofy. Not Goofy.
I'll take your word for it, David.
Also one big thing, while we're on the subject of Disney and I think the soundtracks, we had many great Disney soundtracks.
Oh, yeah.
You got Aladdin.
Yeah.
You got Hercules.
You still love Hercules.
He's just fucking incredible.
The Jungle Book would be brilliant just for... I Want to Be Like You, but it's also also like the Bare Necessities. Mm-hmm. So many good films.
The Lion King, anyone?
Yeah.
Yes.
Of course.
I was really disappointed because, like, obviously, like, there was the I Just Can't Wait to Be King, the version of that that was in the film, and then there was the other version of that that was, like, it was Elton John singing rather than the kind of actors.
Yeah.
It's really different. Mm. I don't like it at all. And like last year, like there's the kind of whole kind of one of the biggest what the fuck bits of news last year was that Brian Wilson was making a Disney album, and like the one thing I looked at that and said, did you not know that?
No.
He's made a Disney album, and I kind of looked at yes, what's on here? Yeah, When You Wish Upon a Star was the one I knew that'll be done fairly Beach Boys. I Just Can't Wait to Be King, brilliant. Oh, I really hope it's the film version, and it wasn't. It was the kind of the other version as one. That's really disappointing. And another thing that's like, as much as I absolutely love Brian Wilson, I had to stop it after like 6 seconds because the first song in the album was You've Got a Friend in Me. And I thought that could be done really well. But no, it opens up with a kind of like, what sounds like T-Rex. And it's kind of like, no, what are you doing? What are you doing? Just do it like properly, kind of like baroque poppy. Don't go all kind of rock and roll on Jesus, Brian.
have you heard the Green Album?
Hmm?
The Green Album? A lot of people doing Muppet songs.
Oh yeah, I've listened to that spot. I mean like Andrew Bird being Green and like yeah. Rachel Yamagata's version of I'm Gonna Go Back There Someday is just fucking beautiful.
Have you heard there's a version of As Long As Being Green by Andy Hallett, the Night Angel? Which is pretty it's done in sort of like sort of slow piano sort of song. It's actually really, really good.
Nice. No, I've never heard that.
Don't get it, Hanna-Barbera.
Oh, okay. Flintstones, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Flintstones are coming back.
I don't know.
Seventh Farm. Not sure how I feel about that. I like Farm kind of stuff. I mean, well, I usually like Farm. I've not really watched it that much now.
So it just reminds me of like, something being remade that I'm very glad I hadn't realised. It was like cancelled, the remake was cancelled a while ago, and I just like, I forgot that it was cancelled. And like, I forgot that it was cancelled, and then the other day I was watching the original film, and why would we make it? Oh no, I forgot it's been cancelled, yes, which is Yellow Submarine.
Oh, was Robert Zemeckis?
Yeah, he was going to remake it and do all kind of like the I was going to say stop motion, no, the kind of performance capture thing.
Yeah, oh god, no, don't touch that film.
No, I was watching the other day and it's just so perfect.
Oh, I love that. And Help's a great film as well.
It's my
I love all the Beatles
films. That's another one of my films that I've chilled that and Hard Day's Night from my childhood. And I was watching it again, like, Hard Day's Night's fine, it's good, but it's fine.
Good film.
It just feels. And then it's like Yellow Submarine, so holy god, my shelter.
I love that, so the Blue Meanies. I love that.
Just getting a film about the next year. Bacon Race from Mars.
What?
Bacon Race from Mars.
What even is that?
Tell me, come on.
I recognise the name, but I can't think of.
It was.
Of what it is.
It was my joke. It was a fantastic cartoon with Bacon Race, who conveniently came from Mars.
See, yes. I've come to terms with the fact that, like, I mean, like, occasionally I'll remember something from my childhood. Like, everything I like in my childhood, no one else has heard of, and like, even I've forgotten. Like, there's that thing, like, on Tumblr, you posted a thing about Reboot.
Yes.
And I was going, oh my god, this exists! It's not just a daydream I had when I was younger.
Yeah, so Reboot, Bacon Race from Mars as well.
Actually, yeah, I remember that.
Yeah.
I'm like reboot the kind of general one for any like British child in the late 90s was Bernard's Watch.
Yep.
Thank God. And like there's other things I can remember from like kind of like CITV or like the CBBC.
Yeah.
Can't remember what it was, Big Bad Beetleborgs.
Yes.
Beetleborgs. Someone else's Beetleborgs
is incredible.
I really like the new Ghostbusters.
Beetleborgs.
I never actually watched the kind of the Ghostbusters. Yeah, I used to watch the Men in Black cartoon.
Yes.
Men in Black cartoon was really good.
There was a lot
of Ghostbusters cartoons. It was the real Ghostbusters, then there was the extreme Ghostbusters.
Yeah, something else I saw in the cinema yesterday was the Men in Black 3 trailer, which it looks quite interesting and like kind of it's quite fun to see that Will Smith actually hasn't aged a at all.
I'm looking forward to that actually, because yeah. I love the Black One.
But there's probably some kind of weird crossover thing you can do with Josh Brolin playing Tom Lee Jones's young self.
That alone is going to make me go see the film.
Tommy Lee Jones and at the end of No Country for Old Men, no one can understand what he's saying. It's because actually the timeline's been disrupted because his younger self has been killed, and he's like, after when the screen goes black, it's like the Sopranos screen. Actually, what's happened is he's just kind of his he's just died, and his head's just going to clunk under the desk.
Actually, talking about No Country for Old Men. And the Coen brothers, like, that's one thing I sort of picked up on when I was watching Psycho. Like, they must clearly be influenced by Hitchcock, or at least that film. Just because,
really?
No, just because watching it and like and being like, you know, the you know the character that you begin the story with, then she gets killed off halfway through. I'm thinking, oh, okay, so that's probably where that came from with the Coen brothers, which I just find out. I mean, I think it's cool watching it now, you know, knowing all the influence Hitchcock's had, and then being like, oh, okay, so that's where that came from. I can see how that's. How that began. I even some Christopher Nolan's films as well. Oh. Just the kind of ambiguity and stuff.
Yeah, basically anyone who's made a good film.
Yeah. Really. Yeah, pretty much, yeah. Pretty much.
Since it's up, it was pretty much.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. Yeah. Most probably.
Yeah. Yeah. But probably.
I want to watch Psycho again, actually. Yeah. How much was the DVD?
I got that in a Hitchcock collection thing.
Would it be worth buying a Hitchcock collection? Yes. How much was that?
I got it for like 15 quid.
That's good actually, considering
the 14 films, 15 quid.
But like,
good deal.
For when you say you got it for 15 quid, is that you did something special?
No, yeah. It just happened to be on sale in Asda when I went.
Oh, right, cool. I think actually there's interesting, I mean, where I work, I can probably get it in there.
But yeah, I mean, there's a few things I've seen. I think, was it yours or someone else who like posted that the Arrested Development box set?
Yeah, I bought that. I bought a first season of 1 and 3.
Like,
amazing. I love it.
I've actually seen that just after Christmas when it was like it had been put down to 17 quid on like Amazon and Play.com, and I was thinking about it then, but I didn't because I realised, this is the kind of thing like 2 months down the line, I say. I'm being absolutely skint as I kind of am now. I really wish I hadn't bought Arrested Development because I could.
You should never say I really shouldn't have bought Arrested Development.
I could have got a good few more pints out of that.
Nah, I've got Arrested Development.
Like I've not got the Arrested Development box either, but and I was considering it when it came out. But then it's just sort of like they're making another series in a movie. There's going to be a full box set within the next couple of years.
Yeah.
Or they'll jack the price up.
Well, yeah, but...
No,
the joys
yeah.
of the internet.
Yeah.
They're
more likely to bring it down, probably.
Mm.
I
don't know.
But yeah, I mean, like...
The thing was, like...
I also did the kind of, like, classic thing of, like... I think it was on Monday or Sunday. I kind of sat down, says, right. I had it, like, I'm going to get on with this dissertation. No more fanning about. I'm going to get motivated. And 5 minutes later, I'd started watching Parks and Rec.
Excellent show.
Yeah, I mean, like, I'm even saying that. I watched the first couple of episodes of series one, and then said, I went, I don't see what this is. Check Wikipedia, said, like, nobody liked series one, but the series two is much improved. So, cool, jump to series two.
You jumped the whole season?
No, like 6 episodes.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, that's all
right. People reacted better to the last episode of series one, so I watched the last episode of series one and then just went on to series two. And then it's a pain in the arse because obviously with all the kind of like copyright things, quite a lot of the video sites have been taken down.
Yeah.
But the one that seems to be the one that I can always rely on is Put Locker.
Yeah.
And like the first 3 or 4 episodes of season two Parks and Rec were on Put Locker. Now got the 5th one, no Put Locker, and everywhere else just wasn't working. Mm-hmm. I was like,
Hell. I watched most of the beginning of Button Right on Girl of It, I think it was.
Yeah.
I tried that one,
but I think there's 3 months for that. The first, and like each of them, it was taking really slow, and they each had about 12 pop-ups that said, fuck this shit. But, no, because I was kind of gutted because at some point, I don't think it was the same time, I don't think the procrastination was that bad. and like then stuff like was starting to go on to watching series 5 The Wire again, and I like watched all The Wire like first time round on Put Walker, got through the, well like I watched like first up to like, I watched midway through series 3 watching it on when it was on FX, and then I think it was the kind of like the penultimate episode of, no not the penultimate, yeah it was the penultimate episode of series 3 when spoilers happen, and I was like, fuck, I'm not waiting, I can't wait another week for this,
yeah.
The rest of like, Put Walker, and then like watching again, everything's fucking Put Walker fine, and then like going back to series 5, and like saying like, no this isn't available, no, other link, this isn't available, no, which is,
yeah.
But I'm going to make just season 5 isn't best.
Cool, I need, I've watched the first 6 episodes of that, and once I've watched everything else that I need to watch, like Buffy and
you,
stuff.
I will say, like, I was about to say, no, you just go into The Wire, keep watching it, but then if you've got any work to do for the next 3-4
Oh, no, that's not the reason. I don't mean the work. I mean the
Chris,
other shows that I want to watch.
Well,
like,
that's not a good excuse, because what you do with The Wire is you clear your schedule for 3 weeks, sit down and watch it all the way through about 5 times.
Chris doesn't watch old TV shows, though.
What?
Chris,
I do, I just watch two. No.
And then doesn't watch any of the others, apparently.
I go, right, I really want to watch that, and I watch the first episode thinking, oh, I can't wait to watch that, and then I feel guilty because I've watched an episode of something else that I want to watch, so it's just
you
a case stop of...
stop watching more pilots.
I've stopped watching more pilots! God damn it. I'm watching Arrested Development.
Don't take the meme of the Lord
in vain. At the moment, there's a lot of TV and a lot of films that I'm trying to make my way through. I've not, you know, there's not enough time in the day.
Well,
and there is other stuff
stop
actually to do.
You're doing and just watch The Wire all the way through. Because, like, I mean, like, my dad's been watching it on, like Sky Atlantic, and it's just got to the penultimate episode of Series 1 where spoilers happen.
Yes.
And it's like, because it's quite weird watching back in Series 1. Series 1 is kind of like, obviously, the kind of the defining series of it in terms of establishing everything. But, like, series 2 is strange because, like, it's. I mean, I really like series 2, but it doesn't feel like The Wire. It feels like a kind of. It feels like. What was it? It feels like a separate drama that's been kind of tacked on and added to the kind of world of The Wire rather than something that kind of blends. Have you seen series 2?
Yeah.
Oh, that's okay. At least I'm talking to someone in the
room. Yeah, sure.
But I really like series 2. I have a series 3 and 4 when it gets back to it, like all the Barksdale stuff.
Yeah.
It's just, yeah, it's amazing, and like, especially when you get in like Kirketty.
Yes.
And all these other characters that, see, like, you go back and watch series 1 and you say, this is right, but like, there's so much missing. Where's Kirketty? Where's like, Naimond? Where's Dookie and stuff like that? Like, these people need to be in. What's going on? It's like my feeling with Batman Begins. Batman Begins is a great film, but it feels weird to have like the Crystal and Batman film that's not got like Harvey Dent or the Joker in it, because they made up so much of the Dark Knight that it feels like there's some like empty patch in Batman Begins. It doesn't stop me from enjoying it. It just kind of like, I have to kind of like train myself not to pay attention to the absences. But yeah, Dark Knight's coming out.
Yeah, can't wait for that.
Yeah.
Can't wait for that. Really can't.
Yeah, it's a pretty superhero heavy. It's a pretty superhero heavy summer.
Yeah.
There's always a superhero heavy summer.
Yeah. You get the Avengers, which is
it's
every
like,
month.
It's basically the culmination of two whole kind of like. I mean, obviously the Avengers is a kind of look from a lot more films.
Yeah.
But it's a culmination of two kind of massive superhero franchises. One of which is like a culmination of many.
Yeah. And then there's going to be more Avengers films as well. There's going to be more individual Avengers films, and there's going to be more grand Avengers films.
See,
especially with the Dark Knight Rises coming out, obviously.
Yeah.
Spider-Man.
The Amazing Spider-Man.
Yeah, fuck, I know.
Which is a dash between Spider-Man.
Wait,
for all the things I've seen it written, just as one word.
When
is it Edgar's Ant-Man coming out?
That one will be for.
Yeah, I don't know how much that's like moving along.
I think, are they not going?
Yeah, it's just Edgar Wright is doing a bunch of those stuff.
Is he not doing it at World's End first?
I think so.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because.
Is that World's End?
he's finishing off the Blood and Ice Cream trilogy first.
Yeah, which is, I'm more excited about that rather than anything else.
I don't know. See, if he gets Nathan Fillion in Ant-Man, which everyone wants him to do, then it's going to be perfect, yeah. I think.
Awesome.
Just anything that can get Nathan Fillion as a superhero. Basically.
Yeah.
Because just in his regular life, he looks like a superhero.
Nathan Fillion.
Is there another Doctor Horrible coming out?
There is, yes. Yeah. They've got some songs written, and they've got like a story. They just need to find time where everyone can do it.
Nathan Fillion is a superhero. Full stop.
Pretty much. That's not much fire.
Yeah! Come on, crucify him, you crucified me.
I've never watched any Buffy.
He doesn't even, he just looks broke.
I just don't understand people that do it.
Yeah, Firefly up, man. High five me.
Finish it, then you can do
it. I finished it last night.
Have you seen Serenity?
All of it?
Yeah.
You didn't tell me this?
I didn't. I'm sorry, I lied.
Because last time I heard you were on Mr. Reynolds.
Yeah, I love that. I'm going to go.
What's this, like 5 or 6?
So it's not like, oh, I love it. So I mean, it's great.
So you're only with
that. I'm now trying to just like, because I know there's not going to be any more apart from the film. I'm just trying to stretch out as long as I can.
Would you do that?
It's weird. I want to watch it right now, but I want it, like, I don't want it to end.
Stop being weird and watch it,
Chris. It's amazing. See, TV shows, you can watch them again and again. Yeah. So like, if you get to the end and say I want more, like I don't want to kind of leave this sort of kind of universe.
That's true.
You can start again, and guess what? It'll be just as good.
Dude, watch Firefly.
Yeah.
See, yeah, that's the weird thing. Who was like posting on Tumblr, oh, I missed this show, or I missed when this person was in that show. It's just sort of that. You realise those episodes still exist.
Yes.
You can go back and watch them. You can still have them. It's when people say, oh, I miss David Tennant as a doctor. Like, well, fucking just going back and watch his episode, you moron.
I think there's a thing with TV shows where if there's nothing new and you can't continue these characters' stories, you think, I really miss them. They don't exist in the conscious anymore because there's only in the past. Then again, you get Scrubs Series 9 where everyone kept JD on and it was terrible.
Nah, yeah.
That was another thing with 21 Jump Street. It's a film with Channing Tatum and Dave Franco in it and I didn't hate it. That's how good it was.
Nice.
But I mean, like, funny enough, that's quite a good linking of what I was saying about kind of like characters and continuing their stories, because it's the most awesome thing. I'm going to spoil it right now.
And what?
For 21 Jump Street. Johnny Depp's in it.
Oh yeah, I knew that.
Yeah, Johnny Depp and, well, I can't remember his name, but the other main guy from the original 21 Jump Street is in it. I mean, it seemed really obvious in hindsight that that's what would happen. But like, it just took me completely by surprise, and like, it was fun because they were in it for 2 minutes and then they both get shot to death.
I didn't know that, I knew they were in it, but I didn't know they were shot to death.
So yeah, I mean, it was a great film, it was a really funny film, but I would really hate to be a fan of like the original 21 Jump Street, be completely appalled by the fact they made a parody film, which is essentially just a parody film of 21 Jump Street. And at the same time, they have killed off the main characters of the original one.
Cool. Oh, sorry, just David showed up with his phone.
Yeah, it's
Sam Eagle. I'm sorry, I bypassed the time just for Sam Eagle. That's, I watched that American Woman thing again.
The Canadian band!
This time next week, I'll have seen The Muppets. And
no, that's not before time.
All of Firefly.
Every now and again, since I saw the clip of it, I just have a tendency to quote San Diego. And one bit we were talking about the guest on that week of the show.
Yeah.
I've just noticed the name on David's iPad. He's got Baker Mice from Mars up, and one of the names of the cast is Rob Paulson. I'm saying, his name is Robert Paulson. His name is Robert Paulson.
I didn't even know his name. Right. Chris looks confused. Yeah, you seen Fight Club?
No, I've not seen it yet. Ow, God almighty, that hurt, man! Ow, did you mean to hit me there?
Yes!
Or scare me? Because it hurt.
Ow! Admittedly meant to hear the fact
that
it wasn't the
on
cat.
That note, why go and mend my ear? What do you think you are, Mr. White? Jesus.
Lady wrestlers!
That's the only way to play a podcast.
So should we do Fight Club next week?
Yeah. Yeah.
You should fucking watch Nightclub.
Jesus.
Yeah, the only way to kind of send, kind of like round off a podcast is with physical violence.
Yes. As I was saying.
Yeah.
I do tend to just quote Sam Eagle every now and again. Because there was the clip, which you might have seen, so put it on Dunblock, with San Diego of the Day, where he's asking who the guest star, and it's the Lady Rifles.
I don't think I watched that.
And just said reaction, what? Lady Rifles. Lady Wrestlers! Have we no decency? Just in my head, I just hear San Diego say Lady Rifles. It's great.
My ears ringing.
Admittedly, I didn't mean to hit you with the part of the cap. I meant to hit you with the empty bottle.
Oh, that's okay. That's all right. As long as you didn't, yeah, that makes it all better. As long as you didn't mean to hit me with the hard part of the bottle. As long as it was the soft part of the bottle you meant to strike my head with. Yeah. So, what should we do next week that I've not seen Fight Club?
Fight Club. God, you've definitely got to watch Fight Club.
Because it's either Fight Club or I don't know. There was another one. I can't remember what it is now.
You'll have seen them out by then. You've finished Firefly by then. We'll have much to talk about.
Yeah,
and maybe something else. I don't know. Anything else that comes up? Any news of the week? Alien, maybe?
I think it's something.
I don't know. Fucking here. On that note...
Your name is Robert Paulson.
Thank you for watching.
Watching?
That's not the same. It's a thing.
Stop it. You're just a retard.
You can't call that sign off. You're not having it.
Thank you for watching.